Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tech Loft Podcast. I'm your host, Sal, and welcome to this week's news in gaming and tech and other pulp culture headlines. Before I begin, I just want to remind everyone that wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can probably subscribe to this feed. The Tech Loft Podcast is found on all the major platforms from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. We're all on the big podcast platforms, so please don't forget to subscribe. And if you ever want to reach out to us, the easiest way would be through Twitter, where we have our username at the Tech Loft, not at, but the at symbol, just to make it clear. Okay, so let's begin with our first article that I found to bring to you. Is this one's a pretty big one for Sony PlayStation users. Sony reveals PS Plus overhaul, tier prices, and features. Now this does affect me. The PlayStation Plus is a program that I do pay for every year for the year. It's pretty good because at least you get a couple free games every month. And the only thing is that if you let your membership lapse, I think you lose your access to all those free games that you've earned during the program. So it kind of, once you start, you're kind of locked in if there's any games that you like to play. So the article goes on to... we heard that Sony was going to be revealing its new PlayStation Plus subscription service overhaul any day now. And today may be the day. This article is dated today, March 29th. Sony has published the details of the new three-tier service that merges PS Plus and PS Now. And it turned out we know most of those details already, thanks to some certain leaks. The bad news up front, none of the tiers contain day one releases of Sony's first-party games, which would echo Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass strategy, and yet the monthly prices are comparable. So here is what the tiers that we have so far. So there's the Tier 1 PS Plus Essentials. This one is $60. I'm just rounding it. It's $10 a month or $60 for the year. This is effectively the same as the current PlayStation Plus subscription in every way. Two monthly free games, exclusive discounts, cloud storage, online multiplayer. The second tier is the PS Plus Extra. This one here is $14.99 a month or $99.99 for the year. Everything in the Essential tier. The only extra is a catalog of 400 PS4 and PS5 games, though again, not day one releases. And the third tier, which is called the PS Plus Premium tier, which is $17.99 a month or $119.99 for the year. You get all the benefits of tier one and two. However, you get 340 more games, which include PS3 titles you can cloud stream and classic games from PS1, PS2, and PSP. Cloud streaming will work where available under current PS Now setup. Also, time-limited game trials will be in this tier, so players can try before they buy. I would think that's a feature that they always had. You download the demo, you can try it. If you like it, you can buy it. I thought that was one of the things about this online system that, you know, was good. Continuing on with this article, this grand rebrand rollout is supposed to be in most PlayStation regions by the end of the first half of 2022, though no specific dates are given. This will no doubt be fuel for console wars fodder, given that Xbox Game Pass Ultimate costs $14.99 with its one-day releases and cross-PC functionality, while that's just Tier 2 of PS Plus Now. And there's a more pricey tier after that, which still doesn't contain that. Again, from all the rumors that have been heard from about PlayStation Spartacus before this, it always seemed more like a reshuffling of PS Now and PS Plus, so it was less confusing to have to parallel services, and this achieves that in the end. What it does not achieve is creating something as attractive as Xbox Game Pass, which it is no surprise that Sony does not want to give up its never-ending parade of huge first-party sales for all its top series. The market would force their hands someday, but today is not that day. We'll see what the reaction is to this online, but really doesn't seem that much of a leap forward for PlayStation, more just a reorganization. Sony does not need to offer anything Xbox Game Pass does because of how strong the PlayStation brand is, along with its string of first party must-have releases. Excuse me. And there you have it, folks, a reorganizing reshuffle of online services. It looks like PlayStation Now is going to be merged into PS Plus, and PS Plus will be broken up into different tiers. So it really doesn't affect me, because I'm probably going to go no further than the Tier 1 Essentials, where I get my free games, the discounts, which I take advantage of, and on the cloud storage and some multiplayer online gameplay. So yeah, that's, that really not a bad thing. Pretty cool with it. It's actually probably for the best. Our next article is game studios. We have a new game studio opening up in Montreal. Beenox to open new studio in Montreal. Call of Duty studio adds second location in the city to bolster footprint and team size. Activision-owned studio Beenox is opening a second office in Montreal, Canada. The studio, which supports development of Call of Duty series, aims to expand its footprint in the city by increasing its staff by 20%. The new office will be overseen by Beenox Studios head Noor Poloni, and its exact location will be announced in the coming months. Poloni says, "This investment in Montreal is the next key step to our studio's growth as we continue to support the creative ambitions across the Call of Duty franchise," said Poloni. "We want our location to attract local and international talent and contribute to the vibrant video game industry in Montreal. This office will allow us to enhance our fields of expertise and grow our creative spirit. Our priority will be to provide our teams with a space that nurtures inspiration and innovation, but also facilitates collaboration, learning, and building strong bonds. We want our team to be proud, excited, and comfortable going into the studio." Beenox joined several games businesses that have opened Montreal-based offices in the last year, including Amazon Games, MiHoYo, Gearbox, and Tencent's TIMI. So that's pretty exciting for Montreal. They're getting a lot of gaming offices, developer offices in the city. So, I mean, if you're a game developer, I guess that's the city to be in. So for those that are gaming on their computers and those that are waiting for new GPUs, I have here an article from PC Gamer. GPU stock levels are now so good, today's brutal pricing cannot last. If supply continues to improve, power will be back in the hands of PC builders after a year and a half of scrambling for stock. Apparently, resale prices of used GPUs have been going through the roof because of the shortage of GPUs on the market. For the past 2 years, people have been scrounging the web for any glimmer of hope that graphics card pricing may be coming back down to earth. An ongoing GPU shortage has left us scrambling for stock, resulting in high prices and high costs for entry into the wonderful world of PC gaming, largely to no avail, of course. Today, however, There have been some positivity in the findings here. Look to major retailers in the UK, EU, and the US, and you'll find something strange when you search for their virtual shelves for the rare graphics card. Not only are there GPUs in stock, but there is a wide availability of many models and versions to suit multiple budgets. Scroll through Best Buy, Overclockers, or Mind Factory, and you'll be pleasantly greeted by listing after listing touting in stock, available to buy, or add to basket. However, only a few, if any, are for graphics cards at or close to MSRP. The only GPU that's regularly spotted near or at MSRP is AMD's RX 6500 XT, one of the more recent arrivals to the RX 6000 series lineup. It's not a card we're altogether fond of, in all honesty, but it is a modern GPU that resembles anything close to affordable. Beyond that, website 3D Center has been keeping an eye on graphics card pricing over the past year, and its latest report from Germany shows both AMD and Nvidia graphics cards with price tags averaging around 25% over MSRP. That's the lowest premium on graphics card noted in the site's report for over a year, and no doubt improving supply has put an end to the frenzied demand that saw graphics cards going for double or triple their original value. But how long can any inflation of graphics card prices last if stock continues to improve? I'd guess not long enough, though it's not going to be as simple as returning to business as usual and offering graphics card at MSRPs at any moment's notice. Business as usual for 2 years hasn't been anything close to MSRP, and that has all sorts of implications all the way up the supply chain. With hundreds of graphics cards listed as in stock across multiple major retailers in Western Europe and North America, there is undoubtedly a competitive advantage to the resellers that can drop prices further than others. Though this is a double-edged sword for most, manufacturers have faced increased prices for key components and that have been passed onward down to retail chain. Most often, it's the consumers who end up footing the bill, but if demand eases off so totally and supply improves, it may have to be retailers to take the brunt of lower price tags. Those increased component costs are reportedly easing now and in the coming months. We've also heard directly that GPU manufacturer ASUS is aggressively dropping prices across many of its GPUs. Though for the extent stock at retailers today, these costs are less likely to have an immediate impact. After all, these SKUs were likely to have been purchased at a higher cost to the retailer months ago. Lead times for GPUs have been so lengthy these past few years that we heard of retailers ordering far in advance to secure stock. Though retailers may have little choice if all goes well for GPU supply, it's like price tag Jenga. If one retailer drops prices, the rest will likely follow. As we move on through this article, we also have here, graphics card absolutely fall into the category of items with a limited shelf life. Very true, because, you know, nothing's the latest and greatest forever, right? While they don't grow moldy or turn into fridge slime, AMD and Nvidia will always be pushing the performance envelope to deliver gains with every generation, but also keep up appearances as companies on the bleeding edge of technology. That's exactly what both companies are doing, developing new Lovelace and 3DNA 3 graphics cards for launch this year. Intel is also on the eve of releasing its first Intel Arc graphics cards on mobile platforms, which further mounts pressure on what's available today. So these cards have to go. And if the demand isn't there at today's tall prices, something's got to give. So there you go. There's an interesting article how at the moment we're getting supply back in stock, but the prices are not coming down. And At the end of the day, someone's going to have to give in. Either the consumer's going to have to give in and buy, or the retailer is going to have to give in and lower its prices. But you know what? I'm pretty sure in the background, the retailers have a deal with manufacturers, and maybe they can get some sort of rebate or on the supply they have in stock. So, I mean, you know what? I don't think the retailer will lose unless they get something from the vendor or manufacturer. We're going back to the Sony now. We have PS Plus lineup for April has leaked. So here we have some leaked information. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but we have the French forum Deal Labs has once again revealed the free games available for PS Plus subscribers. The other two titles are Slay the Spire for PS4 and SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Hydrated, another PS4 title. And I think that's it. Eurogamer interviewed the developers of Hood Outlaws and Legends last year on their Dark Robin Hood competitive heist game. Slay the Spire, meanwhile, is a gorgeous blend of dungeon crawler and card battler, according to the Eurogame review. Then there's the colorful mascot platformer SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, which originally released in January of 2020. So there is a third game here somehow that I don't understand how I missed it, but Hood Outlaws and Legends for the PS5 and PS4. So that is three games that are rumored to be coming for April PS Plus free game offering. And I think, well, I'm going to have one more article here. So we've got a new browser here called Island Browser, if I'm not mistaken here. And the title here, it's a PC Gamer article here. Why this browser is valued at $1.3 billion. So we have a browser that's valued at in the billions of dollars. So a Dallas-based tech startup called Island, whose product is a security-focused web browser, quietly released in February, is now being valued at an astonishing $1.3 billion. The valuation comes from a Series B funding round that raised $115 million and probably leaves you wondering whether this browser cooks dinner or cleans the house while you're surfing the internet. The pitch that has been proven so attractive to investors is that the Island Enterprise browser is one company can trust. Island argues that browsers like Chrome and Edge are consumer-facing in their approach, which makes them unsuitable for use in a business context. Island CEO Mike Fay has told TechCrunch in February, and I quote, "The most widely developed app in the enterprise is the browser, but it's a consumer-based design. A consumer wants to have infinite freedom. They want to be able to install anything they want, go anywhere they want, and do who knows what with their browser without any issue." End quote. Most companies, so the theory goes, do not want their employees doing these things with a browser. And the bet being made is that the Island browser's offer of what Fay calls security, productivity, and IT efficiency will have corporate America lining up to subscribe. The browser was in development for 2 years prior to its recent launch and is based on the open source project Chromium, which also lies behind Chrome and Edge. Its feature list is designed to give any IT team who has to deal with chumps warm and fuzzies, safe browsing, web filtering, exploit prevention, smart network routing, zero trust access, and the ability to intervene with what Island calls last mile actions like uploading and downloading. Mike Fay also adds, think of it as a browser with infinite last mile control for enterprises. We've done things to harden the environment, to encrypt items, and to provide more control. We're not necessarily removing the hacker, we're removing the victory. The reality is that the data they want to access isn't sitting on your endpoint for them to steal it. So yes, you may not have heard of the Island Enterprise browser, but there's now a lot of money behind making this some sort of workplace standard. So it may be a familiar sight before too long. Cybersecurity is an increasingly acute worry for companies large and small, and attackers only get more numerous and more sophisticated. If the Island browser can deliver what it claims, then that $1.3 billion valuation may not be as absurd as it first looked. So it looks like we have an enterprise web browser, but security hardened, beefed up, and it looks like something that the end user will not be able to customize, probably in terms of installing extensions and anything like that. Probably the Island will probably have its own extensions that have been vetted and all that. But there you go. You have a browser, and we're all used to browsers being free. So this browser here is not free. I took a visit to the Island website where this browser resides, and there's nothing to download. It's all about getting a quote and cases that you can read over. Where probably this browser has helped in enterprises and businesses into keeping PC security at the top. So that is it for this week's episode of the Tech Loft podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. A reminder once again to please subscribe, and you can find this podcast on any of the major podcasting platforms. And until next week, ciao for now, and until next time.